Last time, we had reached the Mishnah on Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph, so that's where we'll begin. We have touched upon some of these issues previously. The Mishnah speaks about three additions that we make to the Amida to Shmona Esrei, which are not for a specific occasion, or not for, I would call, a festival or Rosh Chodesh, but things that are recurring in one way or another for extended periods of time. The Mishnah says, first, Mazkirin Gevuras Gishamim Etchias Amesim. We are Mazkirin. The language Mazkirin means we just, we make mention of, we give Shevach to God. It's not a bakasha, it's not a request for anything. Of a Gevuras Gishamim, which is Mashiv HaRuach HaMarad HaGeshem. That's the request that we make in Tchias HaMesim. Usheela Bebirkas HaShanim. We actually ask for parnasa, we ask for rain, the same Talmud Alevracha, in Birkas HaShanim, which is the fourth of the middle brachos, the sixth of the middle brachos, excuse me. Then the Havdalah B'chonin Hadas. Havdalah, we mention in, we do Havdalah B'tzvilah on Motzei Shabbos and Motzei Yom Tov. Mm-hmm. We put that in the fourth bracha, the first of the brachos of Chol, which is Chonin Hadas. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Omra bracha revius b'fnei atzma. Rabbi Akiva says, no, you shouldn't add it in to Atachonin. You should make it a separate bracha of Havdalah. I don't know that we are given the text anywhere, but I presume that the Chasimah Sabracha would be Hamavdu ben Kodesh Lachol. And you make that as the fourth bracha. And the reason the Gemara, I don't think, is going to state that explicitly, but I think it can easily be extrapolated. Not why Rabbi Akiva, the Gemara will explain why it's a separate bracha, but the placement as the fourth bracha is because it's the first bracha of Chol. The first three brachas, Avos, Gevuras, Kedushas Hashem, Yudavon, and Shabbos, and Yom Tov as well. So the first opportunity in making a bracha of Chol, you make the bracha of Havdalah.
And you miss all of the Bina stuff. Bina, Das, Chachma, and all that
stuff. I imagine that his bracha would look more like our Havdalah last bracha. Which is a very, I mean, what you're sort of pulling out in that is that it would presumably be a very different emphasis in the Havdalah. The Havdalah we make has obviously the Tavdil Ben Kodesh Chachon Olay Nehosh Rebach Ben Yisrael Ben Yosh Yisrael Maseh. I think it does, right? And then I do this about Peh, but
yeah.
I guess, what has the end to go? We ask for wisdom to distinguish again.
Yeah.
So no, we don't. We have the first part is to das right. We ask, it's a prayer that the days coming up should be good. So what Rabbi Akiva, that is interesting in its own right.
Yeah, the whole prayer is interesting when you think about the details of it.
So that's a point, by the way, that now that you're sort of bringing it up, I'll bring it up now. There's a long discussion in the early Achronim, it goes back to the period of the Rishonim, I think, but what is the Nusach in Atachonin Tanu? Because there is a repetition. Because we say, our practices, we start Atachonin L'Adam Das Ma'alei Nushbina, then we say Atachonin Tanu L'Ma'alei Torasecha V'Tlam Deinu Chukkei Ritzon Recha, etc. And why do we say Atachonin and Atachonin Tanu? So some thought it was repetitive and you should just start with Atachonin Tanu. But the practice is explained, I think, in the back in the commentary of the Tosfos Yontif on the Rush, his commentary, that one is called the Dibrei Chamudos, in which he explains that there are two kinds of different wisdoms here. One is the wisdom of the world, understanding, having seichel about the world, and the other is the knowledge of Torah. And that's why we leave in Atachonin and Atachonin Tanu, so much so that there are those who objected. At the end, we say, Choneinu Meitchad De'abin Avaskel, some thought that we should add in a second Chasima as well, because if you're going to argue there are two Atachonins, Atachonin Tanu, two different items, how can you merge these two different areas of knowledge, where one is Kodesh and one is Chol? How can you possibly subsume them under one conclusion? And the response of the Dibrei Chamudos is that no, that all wisdom is in effect Kodesh. General Chavis, the seven branches of Chachma are in a certain way part of Torah, And therefore, it's perfectly acceptable to have a conclusion that blends the two together. But yes, I thought about that. I don't know if Dr. Lanzal quotes, if I was aware of this particular source anywhere, but it's very, very much along those lines, the idea that it's all part of Torah. So I think that that actually captures the fact that there are two different elements I guess it's really almost three. It's really three different elements. There's Kodesh, there's Torah, there's Chachma, and then there's simply the standard Havdalah, which I guess really probably captures both of those. So, well, we don't know. We're not told in the Nusach of Rabbi Akiva. And finally, Rabbi Eliezer Omer Behoda'a. Rabbi Eliezer says that you make the bracha of Havdalah, Vatachan Antanu, in the second to last bracha of the Amida. So the Gemara will talk about why. But in the meantime, we'll explain each of the shitas. Now the Gemara starts with Rabbi Yose's explanation to each of these three things. Maskirin Gevuras Geshamim. So that's the first part of the Mishnah. It's, by the way, called Gevuras Geshamim. The Gemara in Tainis, in the first Mishnah, talks about, there it says, Maskirin Gevuras Geshamim. They must say Maskirin Gevuras Geshamim. And I think they talk about how the rain comes down with force. The Gemara offers some explanation why it's called Gevuras Geshamim. We probably would say because it's Atag Yibor Lolam Hashem Echaim Esamata Rav Lashia and Mashav Echamor HaGeshem. So that's Gevuras Geshamim. So my time, why is it in the second bracha? Amar Rav Yosef Mitosh Shkula Ketchias HaMesim Mefikach Kavua Betchias HaMesim, because the bring of rain is compared to the revival of the dead. Rain does revive, does bring life to the earth. Therefore, they put it in Tchias HaMesim. U'sh'eila b'birkas Hashanim, but we actually ask, we make a request of God for rain, only in Birkas Hashanim, because Mashav Aruch Marna Geshem is not a request for rain, it's just praise of God. Whereas the same Talamat al-Avracha is a request for rain. So why in the fourth bracha? Amar Rabbi Yosef mitov shehi parnasa lefikach kavua beberchas parnasa. Because rain, for them at least, it's true for us as well, but in slightly different ways and maybe to a slightly lesser extent, rain for them was basically their parnasa. If it didn't rain, your crops didn't grow, you had no income. So therefore, they inserted it in the bracha that is about income. And finally, Havdalah b'chonin hadas ma'itayma. Amar Rabbi Yosef mitoch shehi chachma kavuha bebirkas chachma. Because it is about wisdom, they put it in the bracha that deals with wisdom. The Gemara will talk about in a moment. What do you mean? What does Havdalah have to do with wisdom? It's maybe obvious, but we'll leave it for a couple lines. And then the Rabbanon have a different explanation why Havdalah is placed in chonin hadas mitoch shehi chol. Because it's the bracha that is indicating that Shabbos is over, the week is beginning, so they put it in the first bracha that is exclusively a weekday bracha. Ama Rabbi Ami, Gedola Dea Shenitna Betchilas Bracha Shachol. Dea, and I'm going to translate this. Dea, I don't think means knowledge, it means wisdom or discernment. Or maybe best translated to Hebrew as Seichel. So Deya is so significant because it's the first thing we ask for. The Amar Rabbi Ami, Gedola Deya Shenitna Bein Shtei Osios. Deya is so important that it is placed between two names of God. Shenemar Kikel Deos Hashem. So we speak about God as being a God of knowledges, or I would call Seichel. Anybody, this is not an intellectually elitist statement. This is not about someone who is not educated or intellectual. This is a critique of someone who has no seichel. There are a lot of people with PhDs who have no seichel. There are a lot of people with no formal education who have a lot of seichel. So, chomish ein bodeya asur l'rachem alav. And I would even add, this seems very harsh, but however, it depends how you understand what merachem means. Sometimes, we say if you do something stupid, it's kind of hard to have sympathy for you. Of course we have. Of course we try to help the person, but it's kind of hard to muster sympathy for someone who does something that they know is colossally stupid, and they know it in advance. They do it anyway, and then something happens to them. So our responsibilities of assisting them don't change, but our expectations of compassion on people who shoot themselves in the foot might be somewhat reduced. So it is a strong statement that I think it has to be understood in that context. It's not an absolution of someone from halachic obligations towards another Jew or another human being. Shenemar ki lo am binosu al kein lo yirachamenu osehu. Because they are a nation without seichel, and therefore their maker has no compassion for them or on them. Amar Rabbi Elazar gadol mikdash shenitan bein shvei osios. This is a little bit more fun. Note by the way, I should have said this earlier, that the term osios here is being used as shemos. I don't know if there is some type of mystical, magical reference to this in the idea that God's name is you do things with the letters of God's name. But I would point out that there is a piyut in Geshen that B'nai Ashkenaz at least recite. After we say Melech Ozer Moshiach again, the first part that's special to Geshen is Afduri Utas Shem Sarbatar. What does that mean? So, Afberi is a name. I mean, it's a pasuk in Eov. Afberi Afri Achav. I don't know what it really means in Eov. But the Paitan says that the name of the Sar Matar is Afberi. Afberi Utas Shem Sar Matar. Aleph Tav Tav. Which means literally to be lettered. It's the letter. The Paitan has taken the noun Os and he's turned it into a verb. I'm pretty sure nowhere in Tanakh, nowhere in biblical Hebrew, I doubt in the Mishnah either, do you ever find a verb to letter, right? But Afri Utas Shem Sar Matar, the name, so we would say that the name or the angel appointed over the rain is named Afri. So the term Utas means to be named, and that is translating Os as Shem. So the Gemara here says it's given between two Shemos. So the mikdash is also great. It's given between two shemos. Shenemar po'alto Hashem mikdash Hashem, which is kind of funny because it's, I would say, running a stop sign, because the way the pasuk is machon l'shiftecha po'alto Hashem esnachta mikdash, and even there that's a big pause. Hashem kol miyodecha. It doesn't mean the temple of God. It means the temple. Oh God, your hands have established or will establish. So nonetheless, because they are. You know, this reminds me of it's a certain type of Beis Medrash guy's clever humor, but he's a Beis Medrash guy who knows a little bit of Chumash. When he says, where in the Torah does it say, v'hu isha? Where does it say, v'hu isha? The answer is, v'hu isha b'vsulah yikach, by the Kohen Gadol, right? So that's the same thing. It's kind of, oh yeah, the mikdash is between two names of God, pa'alta Hashem, mikdash Hashem. Okay, but nonetheless, he says that the mikdash is of tremendous importance because it too is placed between two God's names. And then, of course, to connect the two, v'amr and b'lazar, kol adam sheish v'odeya ki'ilu nivna beis hamikdash b'yamav. Deya nitna bein shtei osios, mikdash nitna bein shtei osios. So he says that anybody who has seichel, it's as if the Beis HaMikdash was built in his days. What does this mean? I would suggest that sometimes we do everything we're supposed to do in life, and other people mess up, and the thing doesn't work out, and it's a little bit frustrating. So the Beis HaMikdash will be built when all of us do tshuva, when all of us behave properly. So a person behaves, there might be a person who's a tzaddik, who behaves really appropriately, who behaves with deya, and nonetheless, the people around him or her don't. And it's a little bit frustrating. And the Gemara's reminder is that your responsibility is to do your part. You do your part, it's for you, it's as if the Beis HaMikdash was built in your days. Yes, the Beis HaMikdash wasn't built, because lots of other people don't have deya. Maskif la Rav Acha Karchina'a. So Rav Acha, literally the bald one, asked the following question against Rabbi Lazar's interpretation. Elame'ata gidola nekama shenitna ben shtei osios. Shenema kel nekamos Hashem. So he says that revenge should be considered great. Now, generally speaking, we don't consider revenge to be a good thing. Aside from the prohibition of actively engaging in an act of revenge. In addition, we say bin fol ayivchal tismach over kashlo ayageli becha. We don't rejoice over the downfall even of our enemies. We're told not to do that. Even if it's a good thing for the world, bavod rishaim rina, nonetheless, our responsibility is not to rejoice over the downfall even of our enemies. So how is nekama such a good thing? So the Gemara says, so that was Rabbi Acha's question. So Amalei respond, in bimilsa miha gedolahi. Rashi doesn't really translate, bimilsa is not, it means in its appropriate time, appropriate place. Bimakom shetzricha nekama davar gadahu. And then the Gemara goes on to quote something, which is, dechsiv, hainu da'amar ula shtei nekama salalu lama, achas l'tova v'achas l'ra. L'tova d'chsiv hofiya mehar paran, l'ra d'chsiv kel nekamas Hashem kel nekamas hofiya. So Rashi explains the reference of hofiya mehar paran. I'm not quite sure. So that, some of you might recognize, that's the second verse in Parshas Yizos HaBracha. And there's a famous medrash on that. Hashem hofiya mehar paran, v'zerach mi'se'ir lama. I'm sorry, Hashem... So what is the reference to Seir and Paran? So that's the source for the Medrash that God offered the Torah to Bnei Esav. They said, no, it says Lo Sirtzach, we don't want that. They offered to Bnei Ishmael, it says Lo Signo, we don't want that. Offered it to the Jewish people, the Jewish people said, yes, we'll take it. And Rashi makes reference to a Gemara in Bava Kamma. Although I don't think, I guess you have to fill in the blanks. Rashi writes, "Kidamina mebavakama the zibar maschol va'achas l'tova mi paran hofia v'hifkir mamonam liYisrael." So HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mafkir the nation's money to the Jewish people. Now this doesn't mean exactly what you think it means. It doesn't mean it's put to steal, but it means that Shorsi Yisrael shenega Shorshal Akum is potter. And that's a mishnah that's interesting in its own right. This very interesting Gemara there discussing the. One might talk about maybe the morality of that, but the Gemara has this idea there that the Bnei Noach didn't observe the Sheva Mitzvos, and therefore hifkir mamonam liYisrael. Not actively that it's mutter to steal from a guy, that it means under certain circumstances there's no liability for damages. So that's a kind of nekama. So Rashi says that's the good nekama. And the second nekama presumably is in other circumstances. Rashi doesn't really explain what are the other circumstances, maybe when the Jewish people are being punished. So anyway, so yes, sometimes nekama has a time and place, and sometimes it's good, and sometimes it's bad. Generally speaking, though, we do not regard nekama as appropriate behavior for human beings. If we have to fight against our enemies, we should fight against our enemies, but it should not go beyond that. There is an unfortunate, in certain circles in Eretz Yisrael, I think Aaron will be appreciative of this. There's become a very popular song over the last decade, based upon the words of Shimshon, of requesting God to avenge him, you know, Achas, Mishaseinai, Miplishtim. And that Nekama song is actually a very negative reflection on certain elements of a culture. So we do not regard Nekama as a good thing. Okay. Yes.
Sorry. This was from about 15 minutes ago. I just didn't want to interrupt you.
Mm-hmm.
So, in a bizarre coincidence, we began by talking about Atachamin and Atachanan Tanu.
Mm-hmm.
And yesterday, at Chatatai Adin Lefkir Hayam, I did not daven Mincha. Do we say Atachanan Tanu in both of the... I know we did this a year and a half ago, so I'm even more embarrassed. I don't remember. I know that it's a very bad interpretation to do it in the first of the two Shemoneh Esreis. What I don't remember is, if you do it in the first one, do you also do it in the second
one? You do not do it in the second one. You do it in the first one only. In fact, if you forgot it in the first one and you did it in the second one, you'd have to daven the third time. Because you'd be indicating by putting it in the second one that the second one was marav, and you can't daven the tefillah of tashlumin before the tefillah of that particular time. So the proper thing to do is to put it in the first one and to omit it from the second one. I believe if you did it in both, you don't have to repeat. If you did it in neither, you don't have to repeat. But if you do it in the first and not in the second, that's the right way. And if you reverse it, now you have to daven a third time. So, okay?
Yeah. You're making an assumption that day or wisdom is in eight, naturally or it's learned?
I don't think that the Gemara is taking a stand that one way or the other. I think you can tell from the Gemara, and I'm not sure I can answer that question. I suspect that it's both. It's a combination of the two with most things.
You can't blame, if it comes naturally and somebody doesn't have it, you can't blame them for not having something.
Well, correct. But I think that most, as with most things, there's a combination of two things. I would also say that seichel is preceded by a certain character trait, which is humility. A person who's open to learning and to listening is much more likely to learn from others and to learn what a proper path is. A person who he or she knows everything, is convinced already, they may or may not get it right, but they're certainly not going to learn from anybody else what the right path might be. So I think that seichel is certainly, there's a learned component. I don't doubt that for a second. You know, is there partially an innate component? I don't know. It's true with a lot of things.
The reason Atachon Atanu should come first is because we shouldn't have the Bakashos before we make Adola. Is that part of the logic behind it? Because otherwise, we have another competing interest of like Tadir, where Tadir doesn't enter the place.
I don't think so. In other words, you have a mitzvah of Tila, which we do. I mean.
Otherwise, you'd think you'd add the extra, especially when it's an individual bracha, you'd say add it at the end, right? As opposed to the regular bracha. So. You want to make Abdallah before.
So I don't think it's about Bakashos. So the Gemara, Rabbi Yosef gave the reason. Rabbanan said, you do it in the first bracha because they don't believe that you make a bracha b'fnei atzma, that they don't buy into, right? Neither.
Some said, but if you hold Rabbi Akiva Shita.
Right.
Is that the reason you would put
so
it?
So that's why I meant to allude to this in the Mishnah, that Rabbi Akiva presumably holds you make it a bracha b'fnei atzma because this, for the same reason the Rabbanan said you put it in atachonin, Rabbi Akiva says you put it first thing. In other words, it's the first thing of act of chol, it's the delineation of being kodesh l'chol, and therefore the first thing that you do, the first thing that distinguishes the Amidah from the Amidah of Shabbos is where you do it. Okay, then the Gemara quotes Rabbi Akiva Omer, Omra Bracha Revius. So, Amar Le Rabbi Shimon Bar Abba Rabbi Yochanan. Michde, let us see. Anshei Knesses HaGedola, the men of the Great Assembly, Tiknu Lahem LeYisrael, Brachos Utfilos Kedushos VeHavdalos. So they instituted for us the text of all the brachos we make, and the text of our tfilos, and the presumably Kedushas VeHavdalos is Kiddush and Havdalah. Next day, Heichon Tikun. Why do you have to, you know, have all this machlokas and all these faras? Why don't you just look at what they did? Now, this is a very odd question. What do you mean, look? Gee, it's like, you know, the Rishonim debate the scope of Chayim Rabbeinu Gershom. Now, wouldn't it be nice just to get a copy of the Pashkevil that was posted on the doors in northern France, you know, and look at what it said in the Chayim? The answer is, we don't have the Chayim Rabbeinu Gershom. There's a tradition that arose that Rabbeinu Gershom had a chayrim to ban polygamy, to ban divorcing his wife against her will. And now we don't have the text of it. We don't have an essay from Rabbeinu Gershom or his yeshiva, so we're trying to figure it out. So all the time, the Gemara, we have questions of Takanas Kedumas, Nechzeanam. What does that mean? So we actually encountered this earlier in the Masechta. I believe it's Daf Chaf Beis on the Dave. On the top, the Gemara says on top, the Nechze by Takanas Ezra of Tvila for Balkeri. So a man who's experienced the seminal omission has to go to the mikvah at least once upon a time before reciting Kriya Shema, before davening, before learning Torah. And there's a whole debate as to the scope of it, under what circumstances he has to go to the mikvah, under what circumstances it's enough to dump Tisha Kabin on him. And I know that will get your attention, Isaac. So let's go with Tisha Kabin. Okay. These are on the living. So the Gemara asked the question there. Why are we arguing about? Why don't we see that how Ezra was misaking? So Tosfos writes on the top there, and it's relevant to us as well. He says most of the time the Gemara doesn't ask this question. We're arguing about. Nobody knows what exactly the Takana was. That's why there's an argument. So Tosfos says on the second line, Chapez and Beis, Alashani Hacha, the Davar Ragi B'Choyomu, Al Kedan Zechorim. It's something that's Maisim B'Choyom, so you don't forget, right? Every year.
Done every week.
every year when I go out to the sukkah, the thing that I cannot remember is the first night we recite Shechianu and Aleshev in one order, and the other night we recite in the other one. It happens to be the first night it's Aleshev first, and second night Shechianu first. But I can never remember from year to year because it only happens once a year. There are lots of these things that happens once a year. Okay, you know, or what do? I might change my practice every year. When it comes Hanukkah, Motzei Shabbos Hanukkah, which do you light first? Do you light Neiros Shabbos? Do you make Havdalah first? Do you light Neiros Hanukkah first? I cannot remember from year to year. It happens literally every. It comes every year. I feel like I should just write in my Aruch HaShulchan volume, just put a little note in the front that says,
calendar.
What's that? Yeah, I'll put it in my Google calendar. Just say, remind me, what do I do? It's coming up, you know, now in a couple of months. I don't remember what we did last year, right? I mean, this, as far as this way. What?
What's the answer to that one?
I don't remember. You have to ask me right after, you know, like the week of Hanukkah or something like that.
Sukkot,
you said what? Yeah, Sukkot, I mean, it's not, I just read, it's what it says in the Siddur, Leishay the first night, you know. I'm trying, you know, one of the challenges, I think it's particular to a culture which doesn't have orality. And we move beyond orality from books to media, so it's even far beyond that. But if you, Larry, you'll appreciate this. If you ever learn something like the Mincha Shai, right, which is really, it's a commentary on Chumash, which has really two focuses. One is how the words are written, Malei Chaser. It's an early 17th century Italian Rav Yedidya Norzi. Bali Kriya mostly, most Bali Kriya know, you know, who some experience know the Mincha Shai is. And then he has other notes about the trop, you know, minor differences and things like that. So the Mincha Shai often, what he quotes from the Bali Masora, simanim on how to remember things. And you can't refer one to the other. So the one that sticks out of my mind, I say Karbanos, and I say the Akedah, I'm usually have a sitter in front of me, and I don't remember, is it Vayikach Eshnein Arav Ito or Imo? I can never remember until, what's that? Do you know which it is? Yes, and you know how I know? Because Bilam has the very same pasuk, but it's Imo. That's why it's confusing. Except for Bilam ends on the letters I and M, so that's how you remember Imo. Once I saw that siman, now I'll never forget it. Okay. What? Now I'll never forget it. Right, that's so, you know, I can't.
I remember, like, the mnemonic. I don't remember what it goes for.
That's, you know.
So, I remember the mnemonics, but I don't remember the things.
So, yes. I'm going to look it up this year again because it's going to come up. It's going to come probably, I'm not going to remember until Motzei Shabbos. I'm going to be pulling it off my, well, we have a house, you know, Mara Minyan, we don't make Havdalah there. So I'm not going to be in shul anyway. I'll be in my own shul. And so I'm going to be running to the shelf, pulling out the Aruch HaShulchan to say, okay, what does he say to do? And that's what we're going to do. So, what? That's a longer discussion, but you, generally speaking, I tend to more often follow the Aruch HaShulchan.
I think I'm
what's that? There aren't such, like, people may, it's not, what's that? No. The Aruch HaShulchan is not a Mekel. He's a consistent defender of Minhag Yisrael. That's all. He's not a Mekel. In other words, the Mishnah Berurah will collect Shikos and, you know, often given the bottom line, typically he'll give you a Chumrah. But the Mishnah Berurah also wasn't meant to be used. If you read his introduction, it wasn't meant to be used the way it is used. Right? It's when you need a very, very quick reference. You know, but it's not, you know, the real proper way is studying the Sugya, coming out what is the correct conclusion. I mean, that's what he says in the introduction. That's, you know, he talks about it as the quick first introduction. Whether it ultimately always meant that way, I don't know. And it's certainly, that's not what it became. But yes, bottom line is I will generally look first for the Aruch HaShulchan.
I like the Aruch HaShulchan a lot.
Okay. But anyway, either way. Presumably. Marshall, 1 second. I know. What's that? It's hard. I mean, Ezra would precede it immediately. Leaving aside the challenges of rabbinic chronology, because Chazal assume that the second Beis Hamikdash was only 420 years, so as soon as the Persian period is over, you have 20 years for the Persian period, and then you have the Greek conquest. And already, Shimon HaTzadik is already from that era. He's from the Shiare Anshei Knesset HaGdola. But I would assume, to the extent that we actually know anything, that the period of Dashik Nesek Vilna, I mean, the way it's presented, I think, in the Shalsheles, in the chain of transmission, okay, is they follow the last Nevi'im, Chagai, Zechariah, Malachi. So they would begin.
Point in time,
that, what?
Dashik Nesek Vilna wasn't like a point in time where they sat
down
and
it's a body that presumably, has people who are replacing them, you know, as people die. It's like a Sanhedrin, essentially. So the Anshei Knesset Vilna, I assume, begins, you know, right after Ezra's time. Ezra, according to some traditions, Ezra was Malachi. Okay, it may not be Pshat, but you have such traditions. So I assume around the year, you know, I assume the early 5th century before the Common Era, and it's in the rabbinic tradition, it goes down to Shimon HaTzadik as Mishiyar Knesset Vilna, and he's a couple of generations before the Zugos. So probably somewhere, I would say, if the Hillel was 100 years before the Bais, and the other Zugos probably brings it back to 200 years. So you're talking about, you know, at least in Chazal's dating, Shimon HaTzadik. I mean, I think there are traditions he's the one who goes out and meets Alexander, which would push him much earlier. But again, there's our Midrash, and it's hard to know, you know, it's hard to know exactly what to do with that. But I assume it's the body of elders throughout the Second Temple period until very late. That's what I would guess.
A period of 300 years, possibly, right?
Yeah. I mean, look, the truth is when it says that they instituted Tfilos, it's a little tricky because the nusach of the Amida was instituted in Yavne, right, as we are told. So I don't know what that means, Titnu Tilos. I don't know which Tilos that annoyed. But the Shmona Esrei Brachos, the Gemara Megillah says at the beginning of the second or third parak, was Shimon HaPakuli, was Mesader Lefnei, I think, Rabban Gamliel B'Yavne. So I don't know, unless you argue that the, you know, that they really existed already, but what was his role? But it seems clear because they didn't have Birchas Aminim, and that was Shmuel HaKatan. He was the one who created the text of Birchas Aminim. I think we saw that. Did we see that already? He was the one. Yes. At the end of the fourth parak, he froze in it, but because he was the one who instituted it, they had no concerns that he himself was or because he had started it, that he himself had gone, you know, OTD. So I don't know exactly which aspect of Tilos here and which period of the Anshei Knesset Vilna they're referring to here. Okay. But anyway, so the Gemara's question is, well, you know what?
Every week.
You did it every week. So what are you arguing about? You know, how could it be? So the Gemara says no. B'tchi amalei, b'tchila kavua b'tfila. Originally it was in Tfila. He'eshiru, when they became wealthier and they could afford wine, kavua al hakos. It is kind of stunning, by the way, to think that people become so poor that they don't have.
This is what they drank.
What's that?
This is what they drank.
Yeah, I mean, if you know, because the only thing that's really not usable for Havdalah is water. Every other drink probably should be considered Chamar Medina. Chamar Medina just means the wine of the country. And even though in Babel, Chamar Medina was beer. We live in a very unusual time period because we have drinks that are not fermented, right? That's because we have refrigeration. And, I mean, I guess refrigeration and vacuum sealing. What's that?
Water, bottled water is
Chamar Medina. Yeah, that far not willing to go. But you know, we have juices that once upon a time could only have been had if they were fermented, which is what wine was. And beer is a little different, a little more complicated. But bottom line is that you're talking about not having extra beverages, not enough just to make Havdalah. I mean, what is, even today, what would that cost? Not a whole lot. But anyway, if they
once a week.
Once a week, correct. So when they became poor, so then they, when they became rich, they were kavua lakos. He'enu, when they became poor again, chazru v'kavua b'tfila. They put it back into the tefila, but v'heim amru hamavdu b'tefila tzarach shi'avdu malakos. That even though you made havdalah in tefila, if you assume you can afford to have a kos, you have to make havdalah on the kos as well. So, the answer to the question, as Rashi explains it, is that because there was a period of time in which they only made havdalah on the kos, that was the time period in which the confusion and the machlokes emerge. Right? Because if for some period of time, or for decades, nobody's making Havdalah and Tfilah, so then people forget where it was. They knew there's a memory that there was Havdalah and Tfilah, but people don't remember exactly where it was. And that should actually not be surprising, given how our memories affect things that we remember. So that's how the Gemara explains this.
Yeah.
Okay. So then it's Barnami Rab of Rabbi Yosef Dami Tavayo Hamavda Batvila Tzar Shiav Alakos. Even though they reinstituted Havdalah and Tvila, you still have to make Havdalah Al Hakos. Amar Rava, Umosfina Nashmaitin, we asked against this position, the argument that if you made it in Tvila, you still must make it Kid Ya Havdalah Al Hakos. If a person forgets to make to say Mashiburach Maradageshem, or forgets to say the same Talmud Levracha, you have to repeat. We've explored this at great length at an earlier point. When it comes to Mashiburach Maradageshem, our psak is that you don't wait to Shomea Tfila to recite it. You have to go back to the beginning. When it comes to the same Talmud Levracha, you can insert it in Shomea Tfila. If you forget it in Shomea Tfila, there was a position that you go back just to Shomea Tfila. That's not our position. We hold that you go back to Birchas Hashanim, not the beginning of the whole unit, but back to Birchas Hashanim. And if you forget it completely and you finished your Tfila, then you have to go back to the beginning. However, if you forget to say Atachanantanu, you don't go back. Because you can say it on the coast. Now, the Gemara's question is that suggests you don't have to go back because instead of doing it in Tfilah, you could do it on the coast. It implies that if you did it in Tfilah, you don't need to do it on a coast. So the Gemara answers, Lo tema meshe yachol omer lakos, ela mitnei sheomer alakos. Not because you can say it on the coast, but rather because you are going to say it on the coast. Meaning either way you're going to make Abdallah coast. So if you missed Abdallah, you don't have to go back because you'll just be yotze when you hear it ala coast. But it's not because you can do it ala coast to substitute for your Abdallah batila. No, mitnei sheomer alakos, you're going to do it anyway.
What about the reverse?
No, no, that's exactly the point. No, that is the point. And the question you might ask is, let's say you made Havdalah Lakos first.
And then you've got...
And you, for some reason you made Havdalah before you davened. And now you're coming to daven. Would you have to make Havdalah and Tfilah? The answer, I believe, is yes. Even though it's hard to see that from the Gemara, and the Rashba, I think, talks about this, the Iker Havdalah is Tfilah. The Iker Havdalah is Tfilah. So even though you made it ala kos, but they said even though you made Havdalah and Tfilah, you still, at the last stage, you're still supposed to make it ala kos. But if you made ala kos, certainly you have to do it if you're davening Marav subsequent to that.
That's interesting, actually.
Why
should you have to make an ala
kos? Well, Marshall, hold on one second.
The Iker Havdalah is ala kos. Right.
No, I said the Iker Havdalah is
Tfilah. Why should you have to make an alakos?
Because that's the chiddush of the Amoraim.
And well, why can't you eat and do all the other things?
Correct, right. Correct. So it's funny that you say that. Well, I'm going to save that thought for later. What happens if you don't make Havdalah Tfilah and then you do Malacha before making Havdalah alakos? Hold on to that question because
we did talk.
What happens if you eat before making Havdalah? If you forgot to say Tfilah. So the Gemara is going to talk about that. It's right here. We'll have to talk about both of those. But in the meantime, so the assumption is the Iker Havdalah is the Tfilah, but there, part of that comes, you should make it on the coast also. Right. Yeah.
Part of the Iker, it seems like, is that as well, at least fundamentally.
I think the fact that the Amoraim say it as a Chiddush, and the Gemara challenges it and has to sort of, what we'd say, retouch and has to fix the Braisa, nonetheless, it's taken that maybe the Gemara says explicitly
because,
later.
Because if you look at it the other way around, right? If you make an ala kos, you satisfy everything. You don't have
but
to go back and
dive. Yes,
and you can do everything.
Yes, but we'll see at the end of the Gemara. The issue is not a settled issue, and the Gemara we'll see at the bottom of the page is going to talk about, well, according to one reading of a, I don't know if it's a Braisa, if you, or was it an Amoraic statement? I don't remember which of the two. It's Tanaitic. The Gemara's concluding reading of that Braisa is that it's a Bracha Levatala. If you made Havdalah Bechonin Hadas, and then you make it Alakos, it's a Bracha Levatala. Because it's wrong. It's not necessary. That's where the Rashba picks up on the fact that it seems that even though, despite your issue, Havdalah Betfila is the Ikar. It's the last stage of that kind of part. Hamavda b'tila, tzarech she'avda alakos. In addition, you're still supposed to do it alakos. Okay.
Another reader
Yes, Moshe.
Rabbi Luder.
Yes.
Sorry. Two things. One from before, one from now. So, whether or not helpful, the way I always keep the order of the Leishev Bracha straight is that the first night, you haven't sat in the Sukkah for a year, and so you're so excited, you wait to say Leishev Bracha. The second night, there is occasion complexity about whether you say Shehyanu on the second night of the Chag. So that's how you remember that the second night Shehyanu is to the first. More importantly, though, on Havdalah, positive situation, which happens with some frequency in our family, that there's sort of a big group hanging out. I don't think it's analytically relevant, but a mixed gender group on Saturday night. A lot of working people, you know, people who need to get to their phones quickly. You know, someone says, oh, Shabbos is over. So generally we say, no phones yet, we're making Havdalah first. And so, frankly, in the real world, we make Havdalah before people daven Maariv with relative frequency because somebody looks up and realizes, like, oh, it's 5:29, Shabbos is over. It sounds like from what you're saying, that is substantially, halachically not preferred.
I think it's generally. I just threw the simon, but I don't remember this being explicitly addressed. I think it's generally assumed you're supposed to daven before you make havdalah. I mean, just on the grounds of tadir v'sheino tadir is a reason why that should be done. So I have to look and see if it's stated explicitly. I've assumed that intuitively that one is supposed to daven before making havdalah.
Assuming that it's hard to hold, let's say, 9 adults who each need to get to their phones and work and the like, just remind us all, if you don't mind, sir, please mention for the quote, end of Shabbos, are you allowed to start or daven Maariv, so that, you know, people are like, look, I'm sorry, but like, if you don't want to make Havdalah now, I just, you know, I have work emergencies going on, I just have to check my phone.
You can, a lot of shuls daven. Daven, what's that?
Call your local rabbi, like Rav Shechter.
I would just say that you're asking me when you can daven Maariv. Many kehilos daven Maariv to finish when Shabbos is out. What's that?
You can daven Maariv a little early.
Yeah, technically speaking, you can daven Maariv on Shabbos after Plag HaMincha. That was the Gemara in the fourth parak, Rav Tzali Shamotze Shabbos and Shabbos. But the practice is generally strongly frowned upon to daven in a way that there will be a lot of time left afterwards because people might come to the malacha. But that's only true if you're davening Plag HaMincha or maybe right at Shkia. If you're davening 30 minutes after Shkia and by the time you finish Maariv, Shabbos is essentially out, that's not an issue.
So when we were worried about COVID, in the height of it, we were davening.
You weren't inside.
We were on the roof. We davened early, and
right.
And Shabbos was still
right. So people would daven early, A, because they want to daven together. So that even if you davened around Shkia, you certainly weren't going to wait 30 minutes to daven because people weren't going to hang around. And in some cases, this may not have been here on the roof because probably you had lighting arranged. But for some people, places where they didn't have outdoor lighting, enough outdoor lighting, so davening earlier was just so people could read what was in the sitter. So, but generally, it's frowned upon finishing Maariv in any significant way before Malacha is permitted. But a lot of the shul in which I daven, our practice is to finish, you know, when Shabbos is out or a couple of minutes later. So I think one can do that. Okay. I mean, I have to say I am both understanding of this, but I'm also struck by the fact that I think it does need to be said. There is an inyan of being Mosif may chol ala kodesh. And if people will tell themselves, you know, if you can wait 25 hours or 24 hours and 40 minutes, you can wait another 10 minutes till Maariv is over. It's a psychological piece because if you told them it's usur to use it until you daven and make Havdalah, so presumably they would listen. They'd say, okay, well, it's like I can't do Malach, I can't use my phone on Shabbos, I can't use my phone on after Shabbos until I've done those things. But because obviously the Chomer Ha'isr is not the same, the severity of the prohibition is not the same. If you say Baruch Hamavdu Ben Kodesh L'chol, because you have a reason you must do something before you even daven, you'd say you need to turn on the lights in shul. Right? You can say, there we wouldn't say there's anything wrong. We would say, wait till, or we do it, it's not Malacha, but we do it Tisha B'Av night. right, you would say to tell the chazan, before the chazan takes his shoes off, because he doesn't want to do it on Shabbos, before he says Baruch Ham Abdomen Kodesh Hachol, then he can take his shoes off. But if you need to turn the lights on in the shul, you would do the same thing. So because we know that you can undo the Issa Malacha, so we tell ourselves we actually have to do it. But I'd imagine if we could wait 24 hours and 45 or 50 minutes, we could say we need to wait 10 more minutes until we daven Ma'ariv, say Havdalah properly, and then, you know, we'll do it. But, okay, I do understand the psychology, even though I think on a spiritual, when one evaluates it through a broader spiritual lens, it doesn't make a lot of sense. But, okay.
One last very quick thing. It's not a question of psychology with apologies. People have serious responsibilities, and their co-workers have to carry their load on Shabbos, and I think part of the ethics of being firm in the workplace is actually picking your responsibilities back up the moment you are able to. And so figuring out the moment you're able to is not just a question of sort of being delighted to bust out of the other Shabbos. It's a question of responsibilities to your coworkers.
So, this is the discussion for offline, other than to say that part
life
of...
life and death of lawyers and bankers, I guess.
This is, with Marshall, I think, a longer conversation offline. I would just say the following. If one is not inventing a chumrah in saying that one doesn't do malacha normally until after they daven ma'ariv and they made havdalah, a proper havdalah al kos. So if one wants to daven ma'ariv early, it's a fairly common practice. There's nothing wrong with that. But still, it would be inappropriate. Let's say one has, I don't see the justification if one has davened ma'ariv and Shabbos is out now of going to do things before making havdalah al kos. It'll take two minutes or something like that. But so I'm not trying to minimize the fact that people may have pressing matters. But nonetheless, it is outside of cases of true emergency. The appropriate thing to do is to daven, make havdalah al kos, and then go do what one needs to do.
Do you start when you make havdalah? I don't remember this when I was in your house.
Do I?
Do you hinei kel yishuasi? You just start with baruch hashem.
I say Nika. Why? Do anybody not say Nika? You should say.
Yeah, I think the Rav didn't say it.
Okay.
And what about Shabbos morning when you make Kiddush? Do you say is Baruch Hashem Shrein or you make?
Oh, I say Pesukim before, but that's neither here nor there. You're asking that maybe if someone is so concerned they cannot say Nika. Exactly. It's part of the Nusach. It takes 30 seconds. That
trying to help my friend
Marshall. Okay. All right, David.
What's the exact nature of the Isser Malacha of doing Malacha after Shabbos is over, after Pesach comes before you say Baruch Hamad?
It's not a violate. You don't violate Losasech or Malacha. But I think that, firstly, there is, generally speaking, when you have a mitzvah that's incumbent upon you, you're not supposed to be doing other things. And I suspect that there's a mitzvah asay, a mitzvah asay of doing havdalah before doing malacha, right? We do assume. I don't know what the exact prohibition is. We do tell people, let's say you can't daven yet, whatever reason, they're not davening, that before doing malacha, you need to say, Ma'abdi Baruch Ma'abdi Mikodesh L'chol. And we do say, we do assume, and so my guess is that is a mitzvah asay, that you make havdalah before you do malacha.
Which is really an asay of Zachar Shemesh Shalom Kutra.
Yes.
In which case you can't, can you make that up?
Yes, yes, in the same way, let me give you an example. When you buy a new kli, a new metal or glass vessel that was manufactured, owned by a non-Jew, and you have to do tefillah. So my received tradition from Rav Schachter is that this tefillah is a mitzvah asay, and you're generally speaking mechuyev to do it. He would say that if you have an electronic appliance, you don't have to tovel because you can't. So you're potter because of mitzvah say. But generally speaking, you have to do tefillah. So now, what does that mean? It means that I'm not allowed to use a kli. You know, can I use it once before I take the mikvah? The answer is no. You're being allowed to say. What if you went ahead and you did? Okay, so you allowed the mitzvah say then. You stole the mitzvah say to do it. So now do it. And for the next time, now take it to the mikvah. You still have, even if you used it the first time, you still have to bring it to the mikvah, subsequently. The mitzvah saseh is still there. It's sort of enforced. By havdalah, it's there until, let's say, the end of Tuesday or something like that. So even if you did things before, even if you ate before havdalah, that's a different category. I think malacha, let's think of malacha, you're right with that. So it means, okay, so you're supposed to do it before you do any malacha, but there's still a mitzvah to do havdalah, right? It'll be for the next malacha that you do, or the next malacha. Okay. So now the Gemara continues. Itmar Nami, we also taught in the name of other Amoraim. Amar Rabbi Binyamin Bar Yefes, Sha'al Rabbi Yose is Rabbi Yochanan, Bitzidon. There are two versions as to who asked Rabbi Yochanan where. So the first version is Rabbi Binyamin Bar Yefes asked, Rabbi Binyamin Bar Yefes said that Rabbi Yose asked Rabbi Yochanan in Sidon, which is a city in Lebanon. Va'amri la, Rabbi Shimon ben Yaakov de Minsor asked Rabbi Yochanan. The alternative tradition, it wasn't Rabbi Yose asking Rabbi Yochanan in Sidon, but it was Rabbi Shimon ben Yaakov from Tyre, another different city in Lebanon, two of the big coastal cities, who asked Rabbi Yochanan, Vanas Shemais, and I was listening, I heard. Okay, after all that introduction, what did he say? He said, "Hamavdu b'tfila tzarach shi'avdal al kos olah." He asked him that question. "Va'amalei tzarach shi'avdal al kos." Rabbi Yochanan said the same thing that the Babylonian Aram said, that even though you make tfila in havdal and tfila, you have to make havdal al kos as well. "Ibayi lahu hamavdil al kos mahu shi'avdil b'tfila." Oh, it was the question in the Gemara. Why it wasn't? This was a very straightforward. Okay, even having read the Gemara four times, I forget where I saw it. So, if you made Havdalah Kos, so you do Havdalah and Tefillah. So, Amar Rav Achna ben Achmar Yitzchak, Kavachomer mitfila. Uma tefila de ikar takanta, he, the primary takana, which was either the original takana or the final takana, was that it's Havdalah and Tefillah. Amri still hamadu b'tefillah, tzarach shi'avdal kos, you still have to make Havdalah Kos. So, hamadu lala kos, de lav ikar takanta, he, lo kosha came, certainly you have to make Havdalah and Tefillah. Okay, so there you go. Don't have to look it up, it's explicit in the Gemara. Tani Rab Acha Aricha Kame the Rav Chinina. So now we have a brisa that Rabbi Acha is presenting. Hamavdil, this is six lines from the bottom. Hamavdil b'tfila, Meshubach Yosem Mimishi Yavdil Alakos. One who, if it's an either or, one only did one, better one who has made Havdalah in tfila. V'imhivdil b'zo u'b'zo, Yanuchu lo brachas aroshav. If you do both, even better. The Gemara says, wait, Haguf Akasha, there's an internal contradiction to that. Amris hamavdil b'tfila meshubach yosem isha avdala kos. So one who davens, who makes avdala and tfila, is better than makes avdala kos. Alma tfila l'chud asagi, you only need to do avdala and tfila. V'hadar toni, then you teach, imhivdil b'zo b'zo, yanuchol abrachos arosho. How can that be? V'cheban dinothek le'bechada, once you reyotze your obligation avdala in tfila with one of them, Iftar, you're now exempt. V'havya bracha sheinat tzricha. It's an unnecessary bracha. V'amar Rav itamer Reish Lakish. V'amri l'Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. Dami karvayis. So either Rav said it, or Reish Lakish said it, or both Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish said it. Kol ha-mavarech bracha sheinat tzricha over mishum lo sisa. If you make an unnecessary bracha, one that you weren't chayiv in, for whatever the reason, you violate the prohibition of lo sisa, of taking God's name in vain. There is a machlokus about this more broadly between Balei Tosfos and the Rambam, whether the Isser of a Bracha Lo Atal is an Isser Daraisa and Isser Rabbanan. The Rambam holds, sounds like he holds that a Bracha Lo Atal is an Isser Daraisa. The Balei Tosfos assume that a Bracha Shein Etzricha is only an Isser Rabbanan. But be that as it may, it's prohibited. So if you Yotze with one, why would you say it's good if you do both? Ela Eima Hachi. This opinion is in Hivdil Bezo, Velo Hivdil Bezo, Yanuchal Obrachos Arosha. It's best to make Havdalah a Betfila, and if that's what you did and you didn't make another one, so you're a blessed person, because you got the better Havdalah and you didn't make an extra Bracha. So now, the Gemara is going to come back to this in conclusion. It will reach a conclusion. The conclusion, which will not surprise you, is Hamavdil Betfila Tzarchi Avdil Alakos. It's not a Bracha Lotala. But in the meantime, the Gemara now introduces something we were talking about earlier. Now, what does it mean, ta bezo bezo? You made an error in both of them. So, the way this is understood by some Rishonim is ta bezo bezo means you forgot to say ata chonantanu in tefillah, and then you ate before making Havdalah. Well, no, you haven't. You ate before, you haven't made Havdalah, and you ate. Now, there is a discussion, a big discussion, in Arvei Pesachim, the last parak of Pesachim, whether Ta'am Mavdil or Ta'am Eino Mavdil. If you ate before Havdalah, do you lose, can you no longer make Havdalah not? We pass in Ta'am Mavdil. So if you come home from shul, you set out Tachanan Tanu, you get distracted because the phone rings, and you grab, I don't know, what is the appropriate food? I was going to say Entenmann's donut, but I don't know why that came into my head. You grab some piece of nash there, and you go, oops, I wasn't supposed to eat before Havdalah. You don't eat before Kiddush, you don't eat before Havdalah. So, what is the halacha? We pass in Ta'am Mavdil. You can still make Havdalah afterwards. But this person, number one, didn't say Havdalah and Tfilah. That's Ta'am Bezel. And then he came home, and instead of making Havdalah, forgot, and he ate. So, what is the din? Amar Le, Ta'am Bezel, Bezel, Choza L'Rosh. You now have to go daven again. May most Rishonim understand it's a knas. There is an opinion in Rishonim. I don't think we pass in this way. There is an opinion that if you do malacha, if you forget to say Atachadantanu, and you presume you don't say Baruch Hamad Mishachal, and you do Malacha, you have to daven again. So I don't think we follow that opinion. I think we assume it's only if you ate before Havdalah, not if you did Malacha before Havdalah. But there is such an opinion. So the mainstream position is the one the Shulchan Aruch quotes. And I should say, on the other side, the Rambam omits this din completely. It's not entirely clear why. It's not clear how we, since he doesn't quote any din that we can connect to it, it's not clear how he read this Gemara, why he ignores the Maskana, what was driving the Rambam, I don't know. But the Shulchan Aruch rules that if you forget to say Atachan Atanu, and then, and it doesn't matter if you say Baruch HaMavdil B'Kodesh HaChol. If you want to do Malacha, you say L'chatchila, you say Baruch HaMavdil B'Kodesh HaChol. But if you didn't say Atachan Atanu, then, and you eat before you say Havdalah, now you have to go back and daven again and say Atachan Atanu. What?
That's only for men, I presume, because women don't have to daven.
Presumably, yes. Yes, I think so. That would be correct. If they weren't going to daven in the first place, they weren't going to Havdalah. They didn't make an error. They didn't omit Atachan Atanu. Okay.
Interesting in and of
itself. Yes.
Of itself, with Mar being Rishos.
Correct. But right. So there are lots of things. Like, we repeat, if you leave out Yalla V'Yavo on Chol Moed, right, in Ma'ariv. So you repeat, or Yom Tov, for that matter. So even though, because it's not, you know, it's not a Mekadosh Shechosh V'Layla, doesn't apply. So even though Tfilas Arvus is Rishos. Yeah. Okay, Amar Le Ravina L'Rabba Hilchos Amai. Okay, bottom line, what's the deal? Amar Le Ki Kiddush. It's just, Havdalah's like Kiddush. Ma Kiddush Afal Gat the Mekadosh V'Tzlusa, Mekadosh Akosa. Just as by Kiddush, you say Kiddush in davening, and then you still make Kiddush ala kos, af havdala nami, af agav demavdil betzlosa, mavdil akosa. Right? So we make ala kos, so that's our practice. So the bottom line is, it doesn't matter which one you're doing first, whatever the reason, if for some reason people absolutely needed to do something before davening, and they made Havdalah first, they will say Havdalah and Tefillah anyway. If you say Havdalah and Tefillah, you still say Havdalah Lakos. If you forget Havdalah and Tefillah, you rely upon Havdalah Lakos. And I should add here, you're not allowed, once you finish the Brach, once you say Baruch Atah Hashem of Choni Hadas, you're not allowed to go back. It's a Brach HaLevatala, since you don't need to go back. You don't, it's generally assumed, you don't say it in Shomea Tefillah either. However, I forget, one of the issues that comes up is the following. Supposing a person forgot to say Havdalah Choni Hadas, and they have nothing to make Kiddush on. So in general, if you have nothing to make Kiddush on, and you know you're not going to get any Kiddush, anything to make that on the next 3 days, you're not prohibited in eating at that point. You're allowed to eat. Right? It's only if you're going to be able to make Kiddush. What happens if you forgot to say Atachon Antanu in Tfilah, and then you have nothing to make Kiddush on? Havdalah on. So the answer to that question is you have to daven again. You have to daven again. Yeah. If you're not going to be able to do Havdalah ala kos, then you have to daven again and do Havdalah b'tfilah.
Sounds like they're both eaten.
Yes, but the Gemara says Havdalah b'tfilah zikr. The Rashba is trouble. He has a discussion about this. So bottom line there is that if you don't not going to have a kos, then you have to make Havdalah daven again. But if you have a kos, then you don't go back in the Amidah. And if you forgot to say it in Tefillah, and then you eat before Havdalah, you have to daven again. I think, I have to go back and look again. I think I saw in the Aruch HaShulchan or in the Mishnah Berurah, one of the two, that if you know you're not going to have a kos, and you passed Atachonein, what do you do? So I think somebody says, in that case, you can say a Shomei HaTfilah, because the reason why, like the reason there's an objection. What's that?
You don't have a problem with Bracha Levatala if you say Shomei.
Well, right. But the reason why, let's say, we don't say Masha Baruchem or Nageshem, we don't allow it in Shomei HaTfilah, you can't make it up there, is because it's not a Bakasha. Only Bakashas go in Shomei HaTfilah. But since Atachan and Tanu has an element of Bakasha on it, at the end, therefore, whoever it is
it's
says.
In the portion of Bakasha.
What's that?
It's in the portion of the davening that has.
Yes, yes. So therefore, if you're not going to be have a kos on which to do it, and you have to daven again, so somebody might say that you would say in Shomei HaTfilah. But ordinarily, when you expect to have a kos, which is our normal circumstance, you don't say in Shomei HaTfilah. You're not allowed to make another bracha there. That's a bracha l'atala. You just finish your amida, and you rely upon the fact that you will make it ala kos. Okay. Yes. Yes, yes. So we touched upon that right at the beginning. This issue of the I think we did about the different the fact that you don't have the Rabbi Akiva Shita. Rabbi Akiva says Omer Bracha is Natma, so we suggested that probably the Bracha would have been Hamavdei Kodesh L'Chol. Our Bracha loses that into the Das component. Okay.
And you mentioned, Rabbi, that you're not allowed to eat before making kiddush, which is intuitive if you've come home already from shul. What about if you've not yet gone to shul, like it's Friday afternoon, late afternoon? Are you allowed to eat?
Not a suda. I mean, that's subject to the general rules. There are two considerations there. One, which I don't know. One is, when are you allowed to eat in terms of you haven't davened mincha yet? Or it's close to the time of Davening Ma'ariv. I think we explored this sugya at some point. That's really, it's a sugya in Shabbos. The second component is not being Kovei Sudan or Shabbos in general because of Oneg Shabbos. And so again, that doesn't mean grabbing a little snack, that neither matters. It's once, generally speaking, I think we assume, like in the morning, I don't know what the din is at night. In the morning, you're not, if you need to drink water, you do that before Davening. Once you've davened and you can, once you've said tefillah shacharis, and you can say kiddush, then you're not even allowed to drink water. Then you make kiddush first. I would assume at night the same rule should theoretically apply. That's if the people who daven, if they haven't davened ma'ariv yet, it might be that they're allowed to drink water. I have to look this up. They're allowed to drink, let's say, water. Anything you could do before ma'ariv, you know, l'chatchila. Like we do stuff that maybe we shouldn't do. We eat dinner. We said we rely upon a ma'ariv later, but let's assume drinking water, that's a pretty neutral activity. Once you've davened ma'ariv, then you can't drink before making kiddush. That would be my guess that I have to actually check that. But if it's Shabbos hasn't come yet, to having a small snack, I don't think that's not a problem. Okay.
Sure.